everybody to the Florida Building Commission Structural Technical Advisory Committee meeting of February 22nd, 2024. A couple of reminders, please be aware of background noise. Please keep your devices on mute. If you're using a phone, do not put it on hold, but you can put it on mute. Please wait to speak until invited by me at the appropriate times during the meeting. And please state your name each time you speak and TAC members when making and seconding motions. All right, well, let's ensure that we have our quorum. Commissioner Compton?
Yes, sir.
Amy Gascon?
Here.
Good, thank you. Michael Garacio?
Here.
Camera keeps deciding not to show everybody. Do Kim?
Here.
Dan Laverage? Julie Lowry?
Here.
C.W. McComber?
Here.
Dave Mansour?
Here.
Craig Perino.
Here.
Dean Rourke.
Here.
Jason Seals. And Commissioner Schock.
Here.
And going back, Dan Laverage.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yes. All right. So just one more check. Is Jason Seals on? All right. Well, we have 11 of 12, so we obviously have a quorum. Okay. Next order of business is to we have from representing DBPR, Joe Bigelow, Sabrina Evans, Jim Hammers, Momadani, Marlita Peters, and Justin Vogel, and I am Jeff Blair, the Commission's facilitator. The agenda for today is to approve the minutes from the January 24th meeting to provide the Commission with your recommendation regarding the remaining errata, which is only one, and then to provide the Commission with your recommendation on an annual technical amendment proposal, a single one that's also in front of you, and then any general public comment. So unless there's any questions, is there a motion to approve the agenda as posted and a second by name, please?
Laverage,
second. All right, Laverage and Schock, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, then our next order of business is to approve the minutes from the January 24th meeting. Unless there's any revisions or corrections, is there a motion to accept them as posted by name and second?
Laverage move to accept.
Schock second.
Motion and second from Laverage and Schock, respectively. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? All right, somebody else just joined by a phone. Would you identify yourself? All right. Okay. Then let's proceed with our first order of business, which is the errata. What I'm going to do first is review very briefly the process, since we're all familiar with it. I'll introduce the errata. The proponent will have an opportunity to 3 minutes to offer their errata to discuss it. Then we will hear from anybody who wants to speak in favor from the public. Anybody who's in opposition. If there are pros and cons, there will be one collective, one per side, 2 minute rebuttal opportunity, and then back to the TAC for discussion. TAC has two issues. One, A, does it meet the errata definition, which is, errata to the code means a list of errors on current and previous editions of the Florida Building Code. So if it meets that, then you have choices as to recommend it as submitted or as modified if there's some change, or for denial. If it doesn't meet the definition of errata, then your recommendation is the commission should be for denial, even if you were to support the technical merits of it. But if it's an errata, as submitted, as modified, or denial. Any tech member has any questions on the process? I'm not going to bother with the glitch criteria because we don't have a glitch in front of us. Mo, would you like to review the documents, please?
Yeah, good morning. This is Mo Magani. I just want to make sure that you have found the information from the agenda. If you click on mainly item number 4, this is a link there. I'll take you to the CodeMod page where you see the metrics. The metrics has the errata and glitches proposed, and if you click on the one, the detailed report for structural, you should be able to find the document that we will be reviewing today. As Jeff said, it has an annual amendment. And any question about this, you need help, let us know. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll start with our single errata, which was submitted by Greg Johnson or Cade Booth. It's SFBCR Chapter 3, errata number 2. Is the proponent here? Is anybody here from? There's a lot of background noise. Folks, please keep your devices on mute, especially if you're on phones, in your car, et cetera. Is there anybody from the representing AWC who wants to speak on this as proponent? Okay. Is there anybody from the public that wants to comment on this? All right, Mo, I'm going to turn to you for your take on this.
Yeah, this is mainly an editorial change. I think the proponent would like to change the reference to the AFNBA Wood Frame Construction Manual to add AWC WFCM, which is, no, I don't see any issue there. So it's just editorial, and it's an errata, I would say. Thank you.
Okay, tech members, you heard from staff. If you agree with that, you would make a motion to recommend the commission that it is an errata and to prove it as submitted. Discussion or motion?
W motion to recommend it as an errata.
Okay.
Jamie Gossman, second.
We have a motion and a second to recommend to the commission that this is an errata and to approve as submitted. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion carries unanimously. There's still a lot of background noise coming from somewhere, but okay, so now we're into our technical, our annual technical amendment proposal, which is FBCB Chapter 2, glitch number 1, as we titled it, but it's an annual technical amendment in this instance. What I'm going to do first is, is review the process. As you know, the commission voted unanimously to initiate rulemaking pursuant to 55779-9A. The annual technical amendment process to address the single issue of the proposed change to the term windborne debris in the updated code. And the commission has charged the structural TAC with providing their recommendation for the commission's consideration at their April 16, 2024 meeting in the rulemaking, their rulemaking on this issue. So what I'm going to do is first kind of give you the procedural sequencing. First, I'm going to review the process. And then if you have any legal or technical questions, Justin and Mo are available. Then the proponent or their designee will have their three-minute opportunity. Others who wish to speak in support will have their three-minute opportunity. And then, of course, TAC members, you're always welcome to ask questions of proponents, et cetera. And then if there's anybody who wants to speak in opposition to it, have the same opportunity. If there are pros and cons, we'll have one collective two-minute rebuttal opportunity. That means one on the pro side, which would be whomever Mr. Belcher designates to do so, and then one on the con side. We'll make that decision will be made at the time, and then we'll come back to the TAC. So the first thing I need to do is review the requirements, and that is Section 55373, Prin 9A, states the Commission may approve technical amendments to the code once each year for statewide or regional application upon a finding that the amendment, one, is needed in order to accommodate the specific needs of the state, has a reasonable, substantial connection with the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, strengthens or improves the Florida Building Code, or in the case of innovation or new technology, will provide equivalent or better products or methods of systems of construction, does not discriminate against materials, products, methods, or systems of construction of demonstrated capabilities, and does not degrade the effectiveness of the Florida Building Code. And then paren 9D states, which has been, we've read it every code table we've had, provisions of the Florida Building Code, including those contained in reference standards and criteria, relating to wind resistance and prevention of water intrusion, may not be amended pursuant to this subsection to diminish those construction requirements. However, the Commission may, subject to conditions in this subsection, amend the provisions to enhance those construction requirements. So those are the statute that governs this process, the annual technical amendment, which the Commission will take up at their April 16th meeting. So with that, unless you know, Justin, if you have anything you need to say on this, feel free. Or Mo, otherwise I'm going to go ahead and ask that the proponent starts the process. Okay. Mo, did you need to go over anything, or we're good?
Yeah, this is Mo Magani. I just want to refresh your memory. You know, this came before you at the last meeting, and the action was this is not a glitch, and you did with that refer it to the commission with the comments. There were specific comments, which really was taken, you know, as requested, the comments, and your action was given to the commission, and based on that, the commission, as Jeff said, decided to go with an annual amendment, a technical amendment. The issue here is not whether this is a glitch or not. This is a technical amendment. We consider it the way we consider a proposed code change to the code as we've done under the triennial. So, and Jeff really kind of provided the criteria. And really, at this point, that's what I have for you. Thank you.
All right. If any TAC member has any questions, legal questions, or regarding the process or this where we are, feel free to ask. Otherwise, I'm going to start the process. TAC members, do you have anything you need to ask before we start? All right, then. Mr. Belcher, you're up. And you or your whomever you want to speak first is go ahead and tell us what you'd like to, how you'd like to start.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, I would like to hear what Eric Stafford from IBHS has to say on this issue, and I don't know if I can reserve my right to testify afterwards. I don't want to testify up front. I'd like to have Eric speak first.
Yes, everybody who wants to speak has the right to their 3 minutes of time, so I'll call on you second if you'd like, and we'll proceed from there. Okay, Mr. Stafford, if you'd go ahead and state your name and representation, we'll get you started, sir.
Okay. Hey, can you hear me okay, Jeff?
I can, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's Eric Stafford representing IBHS, and today I'm going to be asking you to take what might be considered a surprising approach coming from IBHS. We obviously support the use of impact protection from windborne debris. The fortified program requires it for the silver designation. However, due to the reasons I'm about to outline, we think a delay in further study is warranted on this issue. As we discussed during the glitch hearing, this change has broad ramifications, and they weren't well understood at the time it was voted on. That's why we're where we're at now. The ICC proposal that this change was based on indicates that it would be a clarification, would have no cost impact. And we all know, now know, and have seen on the map prepared by ARA for the commission that that clearly is not the case. Removing that word coastal from the trigger, it results in a significant number of inland bodies of water now being considered in the windborne debris region. And it's a significant departure from how we've historically applied it. That word coastal has been part of the criteria for well over 20 years, and since its inception, it has been applied to the hurricane-prone states in the coastal regions, not inland bodies of water. In addition to departing from precedent, our assessment is that the application of this criteria is going to be very confusing and hard to implement uniformly. Since most lakes, inland lakes, rivers, and bays, for that matter, are not nice, neat circles, they have various shapes, indentions, inlets, and sloughs, you wind up with some very strange situations where, you know, buildings close to each other may be in the windborne debris region, a set of buildings adjacent may not, and then a further set, you know, adjacent buildings may be in. It's going to be very confusing and hard to implement. Some are going to argue this change was intentional, and we don't argue that fact. We clearly think it was intentional. But based on their reason statement, we don't think they understood its impact. And additionally, you know, and this is the important thing to us, this change was not based on any new science or research. There were no new studies suggesting that this is a risk we overlooked. It was based on an interpretation by the ASC Wind Load Committee. This is a precedent-setting change, and we need to be thoughtful in our process and in the implications of the outcome, and it needs to be science-based. In consideration of these factors, we are recommending that the TAC recommend to the Commission that the definition of windborne debris region in the 8th edition of the Florida Building Code be delayed and reverted back to the definition in the 7th edition of Florida Building Code until such time, or we actually would like your action to be that this delay or pause be conditional upon performing a study to assess the risk of windborne debris for these inland bodies of water. We understand, and I'm finishing up here in a second, that the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee is going to be convening very soon to discuss research proposals, make recommendations to the Commission for research. We urge that as a condition of this action that you recommend that the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee and the Commission fund a study to assess this risk. And when you consider the historically how the schedule for the funding for the research and how the research is done and when the findings are reported, this will dovetail nicely with the code development cycle for the 9th edition of the Florida Building Code. And this will also advise the ASC 7 Wind Load Committee as they are currently working on the 2028 edition of ASC 7. Again, we urge your support for delay and further study and be happy to answer any questions if you have any. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Belcher, would you like to, and TAC members, of course, feel free, TAC members, if you have questions, we can wait till the end and you can call on folks, or if you want to ask a specific individual, you're free to do so, just let me know. Go ahead, Mr. Belcher.
Joe Belcher, you hearing me okay, Jeff?
Yeah, coming in fine, Joe.
Okay. I have this mic issue every now and then, so that's why I keep asking you if you're hearing me. I'm representing the Florida Home Builders Association and the Florida Concrete Coalition, and we actually support the IBHS proposal to study this. As it sits right now, the proposal will number one, as Eric said, there's no new data. There's actually no data at all submitted for this code change when it was proposed, and the cost increase was not addressed. In fact, the statement was there was no cost increase or decrease, and we're finding that we'll be knocking in Florida with this change. We'll be knocking 9,500 or up to 10,000 families that would have been eligible for a mortgage out of the mortgage market with this change. There's no known damage. I've looked at all the match reports. There's no known damage. On the lakefront, actually, there's no reports in the match reports on the lakefront, let alone a mile from the lakefront. So we think that knocking 10,000 families out of the possibility of mortgage is unconscionable, and we do have the ability to do something about that, and we would urge that you, the Structural Tag recommended the commission accept this proposal, delay implementation, and do the study through the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Joe. Is there anybody else in the public that would like to speak in support of this annual technical amendment? Okay. Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak in opposition to it? Going once, twice, back to the TAC. Okay, so we heard from the public and on this issue, and we're back to you for your recommendation to the commission. You heard from IBHS and from the Home Builder Association regarding a consideration of reverting back to the 7th edition definition and commissioning a study to provide science and data for a science-based decision on this, working through the HRAC and presumably eventually the structural tax. So, discussion. Yes, sir, Lucan?
I do support the delay for the study, but there's going to have to be some kind of a time frame on this study. You know, there can't be an open-ended, you know, study going on. We're going to have to put some definite, you know, hard stop on it so that we can make decisions.
Okay.
This is Mo Madani, if it's okay with regard. I can help explain the study or the time frame, if that's okay.
Yeah, but since Doe got jumped in, let's let Doe go, then I'll get you, okay?
It's fine. That's all right. It's just me.
Go ahead, Doe. Yep.
Thank you.
I support the delay a change amendment also because, you know, I support a lot of things that Eric said, and, you know, the removing of the word coastal is really an issue, and the fact that exposure D in the current code, it's somewhat of a technical contradiction in ASC 7. Exposure D effects only last based on ASC 7 exposure D definition, only about 600 feet inland. So I have a hard time accepting 1 mile from the coast when ASC 7 exposure D says, you know, exposure B or C that's within 600 feet of the coastline shall be exposure D. So that tells me that the effects of exposure D wears off within 600 feet of the coastline, and the windborne debris field from the coast is dissipated significantly, and there's no way to affect a mile inland. So I really have a tough time, and I really support further studies. So with having said that, I know other people can have discussions, but I have to make a motion.
Okay.
We recommend that to the commission that the windborne debris region in the 8th edition building code be delayed and reverted back to the windborne debris in the 7th edition so that there would be an ample time for the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee to determine the parameters of further research.
Are you including in your motion that the commission would commission a study to provide science and data for that analysis by the HRAC? And is that part of your motion?
Yes, it is.
All right. And are you putting any time frames on it, like to the next code cycle, the latest, or anything at this point?
Definitely by the next code cycle. I think the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee at the next meeting should determine what research funding and how it's supposed to fund that and get on with selecting a research entity, but definitely by the next code cycle.
All right. Is there a second?
Marino's second.
All right, we have a motion and a second.
Yeah.
We'll go into discussion.
I'm not going to vote.
We're not even close to voting.
Okay.
We need to hear from Mo and others on the committee who want to talk. But since Doe offered the motion, we're now in discussion on the motion, and we'll take as much time to discuss it before we take the actual vote as we need. Mo, you were next. Go ahead.
You can put me on your list.
Yeah. Sure, Jim. Mo, go ahead.
Yeah, just to clarify to you about the research, and as you know, we every year we get certain amount of funds to do research that's targeted towards the improvement of the Foreign Building Code, and with the focus on the wind resistance, the structural aspect of the code. So this research or study would fall within the scope of our research for this year. So this fiscal year, which is we're talking about the 2024-2025, what we will do, actually we are planning to have a hurricane research advisory committee, which is going to meet March 12th. And the purpose of it is to go over a work plan by which we are targeting to ask for potential research topics, which is, you know, anybody could propose this one as one of the research topics, to be considered. And normally, what we will do, we'll go through the defining those topics, and we, and the committee will recommend to the commission what research topics and what scope of work will be for these studies. And normally this goes to the commission during the June meeting, and then the work will be done, or required to be done, through the fiscal year, which is, will start normally between July 1, 2024, and July and the end of June of 2025. So we'll have a year to do this work. We're talking about, so the study will be concluded at the worst by June 30, 2025, if all goes as planned.
Thanks, Mo. Okay.
At some point, I'll need to chat as well.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Justin. Then I'll get Jim. Yes, sir, go ahead, Justin.
All right. The only sort of prefatory remark I wanted to make with respect to, I guess, the nature of the motion is there's been some discussion of this sort of being delayed, and I just wanted to make sure that the TAC understands that there's not going to be kind of a conditional, change in the future that is going to kick in after research has, you know, occurred. This is going to be reverting the language in the code back to, I guess, the 7th edition, and then until and unless further rulemaking occurs, that is going to be what is in the code. So when you say delay, just understand that there will have to be separate instances of rulemaking that occur in the future to reinstate this provision if that ever is desired.
Compton.
Okay, Jim Shock's next, then you, Dave.
Yeah, a couple things. I always have a concern, of course, when we weaken a wind standard in a state where wind is a primary consideration. I think I mentioned that in the TAC. However, I do support what is being said here. I think finding out the science on it is an important thing. I don't know if the cost impact was considered when some other method of windborne debris protection was performed, which may be a little less expensive than impact windows. But I think it is important to find the science on it. And I was going to suggest, and this is along with the lines of what Justin was just talking about, is that it be delayed to a time specific of, and based on Mo's outline, I would say January 1st of 2026, at which time it would go into effect, and that would provide the commission with time after the research in order to take further action.
Okay. Dave?
Well, that kind of straightened something out for me. So, yeah, I support Jim's, I'm going to say, friendly amendment to it. Because my question was going to be to Justin is, if the study comes back and justifies this change, you know, for the new definition that's in the code now, do we have the ability to put this definition back in? But with Jim's friendly amendment, I think it solves that problem.
Let's let Justin respond to that, because I think that... Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, no, I don't think that is really going to be possible. I think that in order to effect this change in the code right now, we will have to complete rulemaking. And so once rulemaking is complete, then the new definition will be inserted in place of what's currently in the code. At that point, rulemaking will be closed. And so in order to change it again, there would have to be another initiation of rulemaking. And that's perfectly feasible, but... granted that the commission can only engage in annual amendments once per year, but that would be something that would occur in the future. It's not, I don't think that there's any way to put into this current instance of rulemaking, we're going to change it this way, you know, for right now, and then at some perhaps indeterminate point in the future, you know, depending on what occurs with respect to some study, have it switch back over. That's just not how rulemaking typically works. I don't think that it contemplates that type of action. So there would have to be a separate initiation and instance of rulemaking if the commission wanted to reinsert this definition.
Go ahead, Commissioner. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick clarification on what was Justin was just saying. I know in statute there's a provision where we can't weaken the code provisions on wind and flood. By calling it a delay and a reinstatement at a certain date, I was hoping that would take care of that provision so that we're not weakening the code, we're just delaying it. And I don't know, the conversation that Justin just had, would that impact that thinking at all?
Well, Commissioner Schock, no, not really. I mean, one of the reasons that I brought up that provision about not weakening, wind resistance or water resistance is really just sort of as a potential prophylactic against a potential rule challenge. If, you know, someone were to challenge this instance of rulemaking and say you're, you know, violating statute by weakening, a provision related to wind resistance, that's why I wanted there to be a discussion because, in good faith, I can't advise you to do that, and so it. So you might want to have a discussion, or is this actually weakening, with the wind provisions? Is it actually resulting in a lessening of the protection? If you do it, and if you do feel as if it is weakening, but you choose to do it anyways, that would potentially leave the commission vulnerable to rule challenge, but I don't think that you can sort of delay it and conditionally reinstate it. That doesn't fit into how rulemaking works, and so I think you would kind of have to address that issue more squarely here, and frankly, it would be a good idea to do so if you have arguments for why it would not be reducing sort of wind resistance provisions. That would be good to get on the record and have a good discussion about.
Okay, let me clarify one thing. Okay, yes, Commissioner, but I want to clarify one thing procedurally. This is really no different than anything we've ever done. The commission always, the actual motion is that the structural tech recommends that the commission amend the definition of windborne debris region from the 8th edition 2023 Florida Building Code back to the definition from the 7th edition 2024 Building Code and defer any revisions to the definition pending the results of a research study to be commissioned by the commission for a science-based analysis of the issue to inform the commission's decision on the definition. I mean, that's really the motion. I think and with the contemplation that it would be best would all be ready to go by the next update. It doesn't say, it never says that the commission, it automatically reverts back. The commission's going to have to do that by rulemaking, as Justin said clearly, in any event. So I think with that motion and with that understanding, if that is indeed your motion, Doe, what I just read, And this, who made the second on that one? That was Craig. Greg, does that confer with your view of the motion as well?
It does.
Okay, so there's nothing here that says it's reverting automatically. It says that the commission will could do this study and you know, basically everything will be in place by no later, which is, means ready to do their rulemaking by the next code update cycle. So, and then if the commission decides to do it earlier, they can then have what they need to do. They can do an annual technical amendment, whatever they need to do. So there's nothing that the commission will make that decision. I think your recommendation to the commission as this motion is sufficient. Now, then as far as the discussion on the technical stuff, as Justin said, sure, we can have that. But I just wanted to clarify what the motion is so there isn't any misunderstanding about that. And this stuff, will, you know, some of this, of course, the commission will make the decision on all of this. So with that, with clarification on the motion, and I'll read it one more time. The structural TAC recommends the commission amend the definition of windborne debris region from the 8th edition back to the 7th edition and defer any revisions to the definition pending the results of a research study to be commissioned by the commission for a science-based analysis of the issue to inform the commission's decision on the definition so that it, no later than being ready for the next code update. By the next code update. Not that it reverts back, but that that we'll be ready for it. That's where we are. So that's the motion. The maker and the seconder both confirmed that. And so does anybody not understand the motion, TAC members, before we go into further discussion? Is everybody clear on what the actual motion is? Okay.
Jeff, this is Bill Kim. I'm sorry, Jeff. Can we call comments? This is Bill Kim.
Yeah, I'm going to let everybody who wants to talk speak on this. So, yes, go ahead.
Just two quick items. To the things that Jim spoke about as far as delaying it until summer of 26, you know, 6 months later, by the end of 26, we're going to go into the next code cycle. I mean, the adoption of the 9th edition at the end of the year of 26. So, yeah, I don't think that's, the 6 months isn't going to really make or break anything. As far as the weakening of the code, I don't think we're weakening the code. I don't think the risk is there. I think the perceived risk of windborne debris a mile in, outside of the coastline of lakes, I don't think exists. So I think we need the technical research to verify or one way or the other that the risk is there. And if it is, we'll strengthen it, but I don't think the risk is there presently. So, having said that, thank you.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner. Dave, go ahead.
I agree with Joe, because that's what I was going to say. We're not aware of any issues with the old definition, and to see if there is a problem with the old definition, we need the study. So I agree. I don't think we're weakening the code at this point.
Okay. Further discussion?
Yeah, Jim Schock
here. Hey, Jim, you're next. Who else asked to speak?
Dean Ruark.
All right, go ahead, Jim, and then Dean. No, Jim's first, then you, Dean. Jim, go ahead.
Okay. I can agree with Doe as well, and I think the comment he made about exposure D, 600 feet, I think that is a technical reason why this should not apply at this time. So I do think there is some technical merit here.
Very good. Dean?
Yeah, just a question, I'd say. So this has to do with the adoption of ASC 722 and definitions therein. Have we gone back to the ASC 722 Windload Subcommittee to get their interpretation and intent? I don't believe the change came from Eric, but from ASC 7. And Eric, since you're on, you can chime in, but I'd just like to know if we've gotten any interpretation from ASC 7 Windload Subcommittee on intent.
Any further discussion?
This is Mamadani, if it's okay. I don't know, is Eric, if you want to allow Eric to respond, or?
Yeah, I'm here.
He wants to, but I don't,
if you want me to, Jeff, I will. But
Yeah, you know, he asked, the TAC member asked a question, so go ahead and answer it.
Okay, I was waiting on, but at any rate, yeah, Dean, I have talked to many members, and you know, it's kind of, the feedback I've gotten is consistent with, you know, my initial statement here and at the glitch. I mean, they, you know, struggling with how to define that coastal mean high water line, and this was what they came up with. It was an interpretation. But I will tell you that everyone I've talked to that was involved in this had no idea. I mean, I talked to a number of people that were involved in the development of this language. They had no idea it had the impacts, particularly the Central Florida, that it did. They really did not understand those impacts. But it was all about trying to bring some clarity to this coastal mean high water line, which is not defined, even though it's been in the code for 20 plus years, and we've been it's been being enforced that way. But that's all I can add at this point.
All right, I think that was fine. All right, TAC members, before I call the motion, take the vote. Is there any other discussion?
This is Jamie.
Yes, Jamie.
Just a couple of brief comments. You know, this is something that we here in South Florida, impact windborne debris, have been advocates for 30 plus years at this point. I do see this as taking a step back. We do have a situation in Florida where insurance is really going crazy. We definitely have the study of what financially this is going to impact potential new homeowners, but this has the ramification of existing homeowners and having to pay premiums and insurance that we're all going to be affected by. So, you know, although I support making changes on sound science, I believe and would support that additional science and studies be done to justify the need for this. I do think it's a step back in what direction the code has already taken in adopting this ASCE 7. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Any additional discussion, TAC members? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take the vote. All in favor of the motion, and if you need me to read it again, I'm happy to. But if not, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Is there anybody opposed to the motion?
Just Jamie Gaskin here, opposed.
Okay. So the vote is 10-1 in favor. So obviously that passes, and so that will go to the commission for their consideration at the April 16th meeting. All right. Very good. Then let us proceed on to the rest of our agenda, which is really basically nothing. Is there any general public comment? Not on this issue, but on something else before the commission. Is there any TAC member has any comments they need to make? All right, Commissioner Compton, I'm going to turn to you to say we stand adjourned.
Just want to say thank you, everyone, again. Good meeting, and we stand adjourned. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
And thank you, everybody.
This conference is no longer being recorded.